If you will, please stand as we refresh ourselves on Isaiah chapter 6. I preached from this text just a few days ago in this room to my congregation. And you are not my congregation. This is a different group of people, and so this sermon is different than what I preached a few days ago. I'm calling the sermon, "What Did We Sign Up For?" What did we sign up for? Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, and he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." And then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't being asked to help the worst? I mean, not always. I realize I'm in a room with men who have skated all the way across Texas just to get better at helping God's people understand God's word. But sometimes, let me just give you an example of when being asked to help is the worst. If that one friend of yours needs help moving, and you know, when you show up, he has not packed a single box. Being asked to help can be flattering. It's especially humbling if the one who's asking is God. But I confess, sometimes there are ministry tasks that my heart is just not that into. Have you ever thought in ministry, what did we sign up for? It's a question that Isaiah seems to be wrestling with. And even though we're not Isaiah, It's my hope that his experience can help us when our work is the worst. I want to persuade us of just one thing, and that is to wholeheartedly work for the Holy One. Wholeheartedly work for the Holy One. We get two encouragements to wholeheartedly work for the Holy One from Isaiah's two-part encounter here. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 7, the Holy One cleanses. The Holy One cleanses. Now, again, I grant that what we have signed up for in our word ministries differs from what the prophet Isaiah signed up for, but sometimes I look around here in the gleaming buckle of the Bible Belt, and I see something similar to what Isaiah has just said that he saw in chapter 5. When all I can say is, woe. You know, not wow, this is so great, but I mean, woe, like the prophets say, that prophetic, you're gonna get it, that Isaiah has just said six times right before our passage. He sums up the situation that his call to prophetic ministry comes in. In Isaiah 5, verse 24, he said, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, so will God's fire devour them. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord. And they have, notice, despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. But what compelled Isaiah to sign up wasn't the desperate need of those around him. What compelled Isaiah to sign up was what the Holy One did with Isaiah's desperate condition. Brothers, we can get a reminder of what you and I have signed up for if we maybe look in on Isaiah 6 and take a few moments to stare again into the blinding sun of the King's holiness. Our King's holiness is exceptional. I mean, I just thought about who's in this room. And there are examples here of men who I consider to be holy. I think of Nathan's kindness. I think of Chad. Well, maybe not Chad, but Tommy, you know, Tommy's devotion. We have, even in this room, great examples of godliness. Tozer said, we cannot grasp the true meaning of God's holiness by just thinking of someone or something very pure and then raising that to the highest degree. The natural man cannot even imagine God's holiness. And just look again at these angels. The seraphim are burning ones. They are burning themselves in purity, and they have to cover their eyes because the one they're worshiping is so much more holy. Our King's holiness is exceptional, but it is also exposing. Maybe you've heard it that a person's very first words in the Bible tell us a whole lot about who they are. Just one example, Satan, who said, did God really say? Well, Isaiah's first words in the Bible are actually not in Isaiah 1. Isaiah here in chapter 6 gives us the first words that he spoke, and it's, "Woe is me." And so Isaiah is going to get to a bunch of woes for his sinful countrymen, but the first, "You're going to get it." Well, he says that about himself. Isaiah 6, verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, Isaiah's first encounter with the Holy One led to his first encounter with himself. And then you just consider, it's hot in, so hot in, so anyone? No one? Maybe I'm a man of unclean lips who are dwelling among a people who are not. It's really hot in there, is what I'm trying to get at. The angels are burning. Verse 4, "This house of the Lord is filled with smoke." Verse 6, there's an altar there with burning coals. The king's holiness is represented in this scene by fire. Can anything be hidden from his fiery gaze? What I expect him to do to the unholy is consume the unholy. Right? Behold an altar, a coal, fresh from burning sacrifices, is applied right where Isaiah confessed that he was guilty. Let that familiar passage, this familiar scene, fall fresh on your hearts again. When Isaiah confesses, God's fire doesn't consume, it cleanses. Brothers, would you think back to your first encounter with the Holy One? When you felt, "I'm going to get it, and I should get his judgment." Think back to that first time you stopped comforting yourself with comparing yourself to other sinners. And you realize the King is so holy that only death could right my wrongs. Brothers, will you think back to that first time that you were taken to that altar on Calvary? Beloved, if you ever need a reason to keep going when your assignment is the worst. And I mean, it's the worst, not because of the discipline issues that are going on in your church, not because of how they aren't responding to God's word, but because of how you are not responding to God's word. When ministry is the worst because of how much you feel that you're a hypocrite for standing up there and preaching, because of how unworthy you know that you are, because of how unclean you so often are, like I am. Aren't you happy that the Holy One cleanses us? That he's still cleansing? Not just that he's still cleansing, but that he has done a better work for us. I mean, Hebrews 10 talks about the kind of offerings that would have been made on this altar in Isaiah chapter 6. when Hebrews says, would they not have ceased to be offered if it had cleansed the worshipers? If they had no longer any consciousness of sins, but in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins over and over. And yet for us, there is a single offering. And by that single offering, Jesus Christ has perfected for all time those who are being sacrificed. So that whenever we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isaiah's encounter with the Holy One can be an encouragement even to us to wholeheartedly work for the Holy One because He has cleansed us. But we can also find encouragement from part two of this encounter in verses 8 through 13. Point number two, the Holy One sins. The Holy One cleanses, and then the Holy One sins. One man once said that the holy and happy Lord could not make His people happy unless He also made them holy. And Isaiah is so happy about this new holiness that he has, that he signs up so quickly, almost as fast as Taylor volunteered his work for that Starbucks gift card. This is Isaiah just getting in there quick. The Holy One cleansed him. And he did so to send him. And brothers, John 12 says that Jesus is the Holy One. The Holy One who Isaiah was looking at on that day. How happy should we be that we've seen who Isaiah saw and yet more of him. That He has made us holy with a better sacrifice. And that He has sent us with a better message. With more to say than Isaiah. And Isaiah immediately learns what he signed up for, and that it would not be so happy. I wonder how long did it take for the worst to come for you and your assignment? Just imagine being told about that beforehand. Being told, the Holy One sends you to a church of 150. And you're saying, hey, that's not too small for me. I mean, the Lord Jesus cleansed me. Of course I'll go. I mean, mega churches, they're for posers anyhow. Let me go. I didn't mean anything by that, Josh. I didn't mean that you're a... Imagine being told beforehand, the Holy One who cleansed you, sends you to a church of 150, and then He's going to use your preaching to make it a church of 15. And that's what He's being told in verse 13, a tenth will remain. Verse 9, Isaiah is told He's going to preach to a people, read carefully, they have already heard and they would not understand. He's preaching to a people who have already seen and they would not perceive. What Isaiah signed up for, verse 10 says, is that his preaching would make God's people not understand, so that they would not turn to the Lord, so that they could not be healed. But we know at this point in the story, they had already chosen over and again not to obey the Holy One's word. And so God will judge them by taking away their ability to hear and then confess and then be forgiven. So what did he sign up for? Verse 11, he's feeling that, how long must I prophesy like this? And the Lord's answer, until I send them away from me in the hands of the Babylonians. After all of that, surely there was great relief in verse 13, a glimmer given to Isaiah, hope in what he was signing up for. Out of the tenth, out of this remnant, would be a holy seed. Seed, of course, is prophet code for the human king who was promised to David. And this seed, though, is going to be holy. Now, we've heard that word in this text, and it really only belongs as a quality to God. Of course, Jesus Christ is this promised human king who is holy because he's God. And John 12 would also say that this king who Isaiah encountered on that day would go from Isaiah 6 being high and lifted up in the throne room of heaven to then being lifted high on a cross by his own. The very fulfillment of what is promised here in Isaiah 6. The most mature fulfillment, anyway, not what Isaiah would experience, but the one who Isaiah promised and what he would experience. So I don't know if any of you showed up with discouraged hearts. I'll be honest, I'm glad, I guess, there are people in here who are in my congregation. I often feel like I wish I had more positive feedback after I preach. It's not funny, I'm being serious. And I'm realizing it could be worse. And yet there are people like Isaiah's congregation who show up in our congregations. Paul told us, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and also among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to other, a fragrance from life to life. Now, that explanation does not account for every reason why people don't love my preaching. Maybe it doesn't explain all the reasons why people don't love yours. But it probably does explain some of the reason why they don't. There are some who have ears that cannot hear, or you could say noses that smell death whenever they smell us talk about Jesus. Brothers, what did we sign up for? Ministry can be so heartbreaking. Just remember, much of the world that we are ministering in is blind to real holiness. And as you remember that, remember this. We don't just dwell among those kinds of people. We were those kinds of people. We had dull hearts. We had heavy ears. We had blind eyes. And beloved, by his wounds we have been healed. The Lord Jesus Christ found us. And when he first found us, we were unbelieving, unwilling, and he turned us. By his wounds. That's the only explanation for how we get the healing and these people didn't. That's the only reason why we would have ears to hear at all is because he healed us by his wounds. You can say amen. Amen. That hourglass may be making a fool of me now, Chris. What do we sign up for? What should we do with hearts that have now been healed? Not by a burning coal, but by the blood of Christ. You wouldn't be here, I don't think, if you did not believe that God's word is important. Isaiah 6 should also remind us that God's word is urgent. It's urgent. Every Sunday is urgent. Because every sermon at least after this week, now that we've learned how to preach Christ faithfully. Every sermon brings every hearer into an encounter with the Holy One. And it's urgent because any given sermon could be the last time someone can hear. Whenever that is the reason why your work is the worst. Just remember, Isaiah was not sent to get better responses. He was sent to get the Bible right. And so were we. This is why Paul can tell Timothy, do the hard work. Do your best to present yourself one day to God as one who he would approve, as a worker who has no need to be ashamed because we have rightly handled the word of God. So from Isaiah 6, let me just encourage you to keep coming to Simeon Trust workshops in Graham, Texas every year, rain, sleet, or snow. The Holy One has cleansed us. The Holy One is still sending, and he sent us. So, can we respond? Here is my whole heart, the heart that you healed. I will not work for even the people I love. In my church, I won't work for them, and I won't stop working whenever they don't respond the way that I want. I'll work hard to handle your word rightly because that I know is what you use to heal those who need to be healed. Brothers, the question is, will you and will I wholeheartedly work for the Holy One? Lord Jesus, we come to you and we pray that you would cause your word to be fruitful in our hearing, that you would use your blood to make our ears open, that we would hear your word, and because you have cleansed us and then sent us, that we would then work, even when things are hard, wholeheartedly for you. And we pray this in your name. And so we pray it with confidence. Amen.